I'm coming strong, and I am a player. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinion. Hello, hello. Welcome to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I'm your host, Trash. And today, we are going to be talking about Survivor Micronesia, which is honestly one of my favorite seasons of all time. It's so good from start to finish. There's not a lot negative to say about the season. All the returnees are, like, great characters that you would want to see back. Their casting for the fans part is also great. Like, they just brought so many great characters to the season, and it's just so entertaining from start to finish. I feel like Micronesia, along with another season we're going to be talking about very soon, are the gold standard for Survivor, and that we will never reach this peak again. It's just a perfect blend of game-changing strategy along with just amazing character work, and it's just, it's such a good season. Anyway, let's just get right into Micronesia.
The most infamous of all Survivors. Johnny Fairplay, who already looks intoxicated. So, Fairplay, are you dressing like me?
You wanna know what you're playing for?
I'm actually impressed. I like to know that you have aspirations to get out of your current place in life.
Wow. Good to see you, Jeff. Always a pleasure.
Johnny Fairplay Dalton. Man, it sucks Fairplay didn't last. It's the worst. Well, second worst part of the season. It's hilarious he got his head smashed into the side of a boat by Yao Man. I think if it was anyone else, I would feel bad for Fairplay, but the fact that it's Yao Man doing it made it so much funnier. Plus, Fairplay's injury only happened in the first place because he was being an asshole at the reality television awards to begin with, so I don't really feel bad for him in this scene. I mean, I love the guy, but I'm not gonna act like he's a victim or anything. Fairplay's Will Die for Food hat is absolutely iconic, and so is the old Jeff Zinger, "I like that you have the aspiration to get out of your place in life." Fairplay sure does get it on day one. Fairplay is a fun presence, but sadly he had to quit the game due to having his teeth knocked out before the game and production not letting him have his painkillers. And then I later learned that James had access to nicotine patches on this season, so I kind of call a little bit of collusion on production's part with that. I mean, he missed his girlfriend and he was sad about baby. Sorry, I forgot we were going by what was actually showed on the show. Whoopsie me. Anyway, he's going and didn't get a chance.
Happy to go.
Can I get a hug? You be nice to those guys.
Mary Sartain. Well, that pretty much sums it up. The only dud of the season. Her vote off was at least interesting as a strategic move due to her getting close to Mikey B, but she's meh. Come on.
Oh, mother! Yami tackles my head into the side of the boat.
Sorry! All these idols seem to like me, and I hope that there will be other idols along the way this season, and they will all like me.
Take that back!
Yao Man Chan. Oh, Yao Man, we hardly knew ye. Sucks you got voted out so soon, but when you have a favorite tribe of amazing characters, somebody great is bound to go way too early. He is so kind in his voting confessional for Fairplay too, especially right after ramming the dude's head into a boat. Other than that, there's not a lot to say about Yao Man 2.0. Suri was just so adamant about voting out Yao Man, so he had to go early. But it's Yao Man, so he's always going to be rootable. He's overshadowed in his own boot episode by it being more about Penner and Suri arguing. But, like, I can't throw Yao Man into meh. I'm going to throw him into mildly entertaining, at least.
If Kathy gives the immunity idol to Chet, us guys, us four, vote for Tracy. Okay. And the girls, the three, vote for Kathy.
All right. Wait, that's in the case
that's
of what?
If she gives it to Chet.
Yeah.
Now, the only way we can get screwed is if Kathy gave Tracy the immunity, and then it goes to a tiebreaker.
I think we're over-examined.
Oh, no, but we gotta stick to it.
Mikey Bortone, or Bortone, I don't know. Mikey B reminds me so much of David Arquette in Ready to Rumble. I can't believe some of his tattoos. I mean, who the hell gets a tattoo of a ticket stub?
I go to a lot of ball games and a
The dude is just so intense. I can't handle looking at him sometimes. His eyes bulge wide open and he claws out his hands whenever he's talking strategy. It's hilarious. What was he even talking about when he was talking about voting out Tracy or Chet? He complicates it all for no reason. It's hilarious. He loses his, I guess, main ally in Mary early, and then he goes himself. It's a very fun downfall.
I get my head. I don't care.
I know.
Joel Anderson. Joel is such a dick, but in the most entertaining way. If he lasted longer or even won, I might feel different about him. I probably would not have liked him at all. Just the fact that Joel is this big, beefy bulldog of a man who has this wild rivalry between him and Mikey B over control of the tribe, and through it, they both get booted early, back to back. It's hilarious. I feel like Joel lasted just the right amount of time. I think if I had to handle any more of him, I probably would start to hate him, but as a character, he's great as a pre-merge villain who gets his comeuppance. Chet getting revenge on him by voting him out after all the torment Joel subjected him to lands the big bully Joel into fun downfall.
You can be a fan of the Boston Red Sox, man, but you don't want to play against the Boston Red Sox. You're going to get your ass handed to you.
Jonathan Petter. My ass is something I say a lot now. Petter getting medevac sucks so much. The show really let you know how much it sucks to lose Petter like this. That challenge sucked. It should have been stopped when every match resulted in some sort of injury, and Chet's just getting smacked in the head every couple seconds. It's fucking brutal.
Our injury tally so far. Petter has a busted up knee. Poverty has a busted up lip. Amy has a tweaked knee.
One of the worst challenges in the series for sure. Petter is the same cranky Petter except, surprise, he's mad somebody flipped on him. Him arguing with Suri kind of annoyed me. But regardless, Petter continues to be a fantastic character. His bickering with Jeff back and forth during challenges is absolutely priceless this season.
Bull! We say bull! 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 Petter, you got the same tiles, the same ropes.
I mean, my ass!
What? Alright, you need to stop bitching and start throwing.
I really could have done without all the super close-up footage of them sewing up Penner's knee, though. Also, not to kick a guy while he's down, but him saying, I saw a path, or whatever it was on his exit, made me go like, no, you didn't. You were the next one to go anyway, and everyone knew it. However, it still sucks to lose anyone this way. He's definitely still going and entertaining.
I hope you can be my first gay man friend.
Boy, I absolutely will.
Because I've never had a gay man friend.
I bet you have, but you just don't know.
Chet Welch. Why was Chet even on Survivor? He is one of the most out-of-place people possibly on the entire show, and I don't think he really knew what he was getting himself into. A piece of coral in his foot was his final breaking point, apparently. It's even worse than Jeff Wilson's vote me out, guys, Slato quit. However, I love the fact that Chet even went on this show. Chet is amazing. It's so bad it's good. He gets bullied, smacked around, literally.
Joel trying to drag Chet, takes a hard fall. Keep moving. 30 seconds. Joel getting frustrated.
Possibly concussed, and I know I made fun of him for the core on the foot thing being his demise, but I would imagine that hurts like hell. Foot injuries are the worst, since you need your feet to keep up the rest of you, but it's an injury that earns you zero sympathy. Chet is such an anomaly on the show, you can't help but want to root for the guy, but you know deep down this man will never last the 39 days. Still, Chet's fantastic. I'm putting him in a hilarious.
Okay, you're homosexual.
Okay.
This is super for gay. I don't even know the right word to use.
That's your cool so far. Go ahead. I don't get offended, so don't worry.
Is gay okay?
That's fine.
Just say gay.
Okay, yeah.
It doesn't mean, like, you want to be a girl.
Right. No, no. Heavens no.
Oh, geez.
Well, I knew that Chet was a homosexual right away. You know, you could just tell he is. Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. But I've never been friends with a homosexual. I think I worked with somebody in the 1980s bartending that was gay, but that's been about it.
Kathy Schlechtman, a.k.a. How to Talk to the Gays 101. What an amazing find by casting. She's out of her goddamn mind and I love it. She's everyone's embarrassing mom and aunt all rolled into one. And for that, I loved her for it. I really felt her pain, too. She was sent to exile so many times through the game. I'm surprised she lasted as long as she did without quitting. Kathy is great. I love how attached she gets to everyone, even ones she knew only for 3 days. I feel so bad knowing how bad she had it when she quit.
And when they show the rain, they show it for like 30 seconds. They're not showing that you're standing in the rain or trying to sleep while you're being rained on for 5-6 hours straight, nonstop. And I said to myself the other day, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. This is the dumbest thing I've ever done. I was looking for some kind of strength, and I couldn't find it. Couldn't feel my family. You know, I was trying to send, it sounds so stupid, I was trying to send, like, vibes to my daughter, Maddie. You know, can you hear me? Can you feel me? I need your help. I couldn't feel her. I can't feel my family. I want them to come and get a boat and pick me up and take me away. Because I can't do this anymore. I can't. I've tried so hard.
I know, sweetie. I know.
I've tried so hard.
She told production she thought about cutting her finger off just so she could be medevaced, and once you bring self-harm into the picture, coupled with the fact that she didn't tell production she was on Zoloft, yeah, her quit is very much justified, and I'm pretty sure that's why Jeff didn't give her any shit for it. I mean, come on. She couldn't feel her family, you guys. I'm sorry. I just really hope Kathy is doing well, and that she doesn't have to eat raw clams with her hands like a savage anymore. I would argue that out of all the crazy moms on Survivor, Kathy is the absolute best. It might be controversial, but I'm sticking her in love.
Why are you letting him call the shots right now? I don't understand that. I mean, you're like...
I don't know. Am I letting him? I don't know.
You're letting him.
You think so?
Absolutely, dude. You're rolling over. You are. I mean, it's crazy. You said you were going to get Mike off a long time ago. Here's your opportunity. I don't understand what... I'm angry with you about it. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're freaking just falling like...
No, like
a herd of cattle down the road. There's 9 people here. All you need is one person, and we can take Mike down.
The 3 of you will for Mikey?
I mean, one person that you need to get, but it's 4 of them and 5 of us. If one of us is gone, you're done. We can't help you anymore.
Tracy Hughes Wolf. Poor Tracy. Her 2 goats were just too goaty and they had to quit the game. Tracy is a player people have been clamoring for a return, and for good reason. She's a great player. The way she convinces Joel to vote out Mikey B over Chet was incredibly badass, and her saving herself by throwing Joel to the wolves was just some sweet justice. She's likable, but in ways that make you impressed with how she is as a strategic player. She had tons of chops, and she would have done amazingly on a returnee season, I feel like, but it wasn't meant to be. Oh well. She's a good player.
Even though I'm like at the bottom of the rung in the old Malakal, I'm not going to be poop pants. Because the more you're poop pants, the sooner you're going out.
Yeah.
You just got to keep on going, you know? Thanks. Yeah, of course.
Amy Cusack. Sucks Amy couldn't make it back to the merge. It's the last we will get to see of her, and she just doesn't have the same game as she used to. Parvati literally takes the Amy game and goes, ha, I can do this better, and she does. I thought it was really tacky how Amy's introduction was basically, Amy, she has a girlfriend, and nothing else. Like, oh, alright, cool. Amy sadly doesn't do a whole lot in this season. She's a much more dynamic character in Vanuatu, and just, hey, I could have voted you out, but I didn't, is not a very good pitch to someone who already doesn't trust you, so she goes out before the merge. She's at least going in mildly entertaining, though, because like Yao Man, I can't put Amy in meh.
Jason pulls me aside and is like, oh, by the way, if I can win the individual immunity challenge, the hidden immunity idol, I'll give it to you. Who would have guessed? I made an alliance with the right person who was sent to exile 1 too many times. Oh my God. This isn't it.
What are you pulling? What are you trying to pull? I'm going home anyhow.
Why?
It's not the idol.
It is the idol.
It's a stick.
I know. It has a face on it. Don't worry.
Oz, he put it on there and made a face on it.
No, he didn't.
It's not the idol.
Why do you say that?
Because that can't be the idol.
Why not?
Because it's just a stick.
I know. You think so?
I think that that's not the idol.
And that's the bummer.
If anybody has the hidden immunity idol and you want to play it, now would be the time to do so. This is not a hidden immunity idol.
That means Ozzy has it. Jason found it on Exile.
Yeah, come on. That took hours to make.
Eliza Orleans. So I know I said in my Panama video that the Courtney Shade shitty apartment exchange is one of my favorite exchanges ever on the show. This one is my all-time favorite. It's just the fucking stick lives rent-free in my head, and it might be my single favorite line from the entire show. I love how she thinks that Jason's just fucking with her. Like, what are you trying to pull? The sad fact is, Jason, as dumb as he is, was Eliza's only ally in 2 seasons, and their bond is based on, hey, everyone else hates us, so we might as well team up. I really like Eliza, but how she made it to the merge on 2 seasons absolutely astounds me. She does not last as long this time, and she is not a main character at all, but I still feel like she's a much better character this time around. I just love her for the It's a Fucking Stick scene, and her absolutely amazing reactions while she was on the jury. She's almost like a stand-in for the audience the entire merge in that sense. She's a feisty one this season, too. She fights and claws all the way to the bitter end, and the fact that she's made the merge twice is absolutely impressive for a player that comes off as annoying as she does. I would absolutely love to see Eliza play for a third time. I wonder what an older, more adult Eliza would do on a season of Survivor. I would love to see her on a third time of the Charm type season or something like that. Eliza's going in favorite.
Ozzy. That's 4 votes Jason. 3 votes Ozzy. Ozzy. We're tied. 4 votes Jason. 4 votes Ozzy. 1 vote left. 10th person voted out of Survivor fans versus favorites and the second member of our jury, Ozzy. Need to bring me your torch.
Ozzy Lust. Still don't know how to say his name. Ozzy is actually really good this season, hooray. Ozzy on Exile Island with Kathy was absolutely hilarious. He's just trying to whittle this fake immunity idol and Kathy's just like, hey, did you find any clams? And he just picks up this tiny starfish, like, not much meat on it.
And from Fiji,
I'm just gonna try and fashion some sort of fake idol. Just gotta make it look semi-professional.
Ozzy, are you still looking for food?
Absolutely cracks me up. Him and James being a dick to the rest of the tribe was not cool, however, which is why Ozzy absolutely deserved to be blindsided. Same entitled prince, he gets way too comfortable, and then whap, blindsided by your own alliance. Ozzy plays the same game of provider he did last time, but he spends less time fishing and more time sucking face with Amanda and making little Ozlets with her. God, I can't imagine making out with someone on the island. Maybe on day one, but anything past that, gross. Dude, we don't have toothpaste or mouthwash out here. It's fucking disgusting. We smell like shit. I haven't properly wiped my ass in 2 weeks. I'm hangry. I'm really itchy from all these bug bites. Romance is the last thing on my mind. It's gross. Anyway, I worked on that for hours as one of his funniest lines in the entire series, and I laugh every time I hear it. Ozzy's kind of like the main villain of the merge. His downfall is satisfying, and it's one of the greatest blindsides ever. I hope those donuts were worth it.
3 chocolate glazed donuts.
I'll take it.
But I must say, Ozzy's final tribal council speech is a cornerstone of Survivor cringe.
Honestly, the hardest part for me was the fact that you took away
14 days that I could have spent with Amanda. Amanda, when I told you on the beach at one point when you asked me if I was playing you or not, I told you honestly that I'm not faking it. I'm not faking my feelings for you or anything. No. I really am having feelings that I've never really felt before and have never... I honestly feel like I started to fall in love with you. And I don't know, you're just an amazing girl and I really want everybody to know that. And I'm glad I didn't win Cook Island so that I could be here and have met you.
Seriously, it's on the same level as Billy Garcia's I Fell in Love in This Game. It's so funny considering how short that relationship lasted until Ozzy cheated on Amanda. Ozzy also channeled his inner Lex for that final tribal council speech to Parvati.
How can you say that you're a role model when you're willing to discard a valuable friendship like that?
Ozzy 2.0 is my favorite Ozzy. He's going and entertaining.
Jason.
Ugh. Jason going to Exile Island.
But this is also good for Jason if he gets the immunity idol. Like, I don't know why he's tripping.
That's true. This time, maybe you'll get a real one.
Jason Siska. Man, Jeff is on his sass game this season. Jason Siska might be one of the dumbest people ever to play Survivor.
There we go, baby.
Well, I guess this is the hidden immunity idol.
This is pretty incredible, so you know I'm gonna have to hold on this tight.
This means Ozzy doesn't have it. I have it, so this is really good for me.
Ha ha! Someone taking the bait!
Yes! Yes, yes, yes! Someone has taken my fake hidden immunity idol. I don't know who, but it's gone. It's not here. Who's it gonna be?
Him not only falling for the really badly done fake immunity idol, but also being absolutely dumbfounded when Eliza tells him it's not a real idol. He's essentially amazed it could even be done. You can tell it being fake never even crossed his mind once. That exchange is absolutely amazing. I love it. I love how Abbott and Costello the whole thing feels. It's not the idol. How do you know? Because it's a fucking stick. I know it has a face on it, so it can't be the idol. Why not? Because it's a fucking stick. I know. Absolutely comedic gold that you can't fake. The entire time he's this cocky, brash, server bro type presence, and it's hilarious seeing his face when he realizes he's wrong about things, which is often. He is completely delusional about how good a player he is. He thinks he's amazing, but he constantly makes the wrong move at every decision he needs to make, and it's absolutely hilarious. I think Jason should be thrown in hilarious.
So happy.
Oh my god.
Oh,
I can't do that.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Leverage. Leverage. No, don't pull. Give it here.
Maybe there's an opener in here.
Right here.
Oh, thank you.
Cheers.
James Clement. James is just as enjoyable on this season as he is on China, and he even goes out in the same exact spot. He's kind of a dick to Eliza. Him and Ozzy telling her they wish she had been voted out was just so uncalled for, but also asinine gameplay.
I'm still sitting right here.
Well, I know you're sitting right there. You're about to die.
He starts to show some of his dickish nature that would be full-blown a few seasons later, but here, James is still amazing. Oh, bitch, is another one of those lines I would call one of the greatest of all time. The timing, everything, was just perfect.
That would suck. Oh, bitch.
James has most of the best lines on the season, really.
What the Nickelodeon is going on around here?
I'm amazed they're still alive, poor things. They should be dead.
Poverty's definitely attractive, and she's, you know, it's just something about her. She's one of them sex kitten type girls.
You can't go in there. Popeye wouldn't go in there. You would die. Drop them stones like damn.
He really has problems, poor thing.
James's dad is also the best.
Wait until I get back home, I'm talking about her.
I usually don't care about family visits, but man, it sucks James' dad was robbed from us last season. He's absolutely hilarious and has the same type of golden comment for every situation, part of his personality that James also has. James is still the old quotable James, and that's what keeps him great as he was in China. James eating bats is also hilarious. I don't think anyone else on Survivor was ever eating bat.
I'll eat it.
You want it?
Yeah.
James, all yours.
Gotta take the skin off first. That's the secret. You get past the skin, you're all right.
Free food?
Yeah. Parvati just could have frolicked naked in the meadow, but she had to eat that damn apple. James is great. He's going in favorite.
But if it's not, I want to pick it.
No!
Oh, Alexis!
You didn't even win on that way! Alexis got so excited. No, no. I hadn't even said what it was.
She doesn't get it?
No chance. You got excited. You're out.
Dum, dum, dum.
Oh,
Alexis,
Mommy.
Why? You can mope and be mad.
Alexis Jones. Alexis is damn near invisible up until the merge, and then Ozzy foreshadows his and Amanda's future relationship by cheating on her with Alexis, and that's where she shows up, basically. She exists as the other one in the Natalie and Alexis alliance. I feel like she plays the least important role in the Black Widow Brigade. She's mostly just a number. She gets idled out, which is kind of interesting, and I guess she's kind of mildly entertaining. I'll just slip her in there.
If we just had a really good talk.
That's what I wanted, yeah.
That's not what you wanted.
That's not what I wanted,
right.
But...
Thank you. Thank you.
No problem.
Eric Reichenbach. Eric's a space cadet.
I found it interesting that all their women were topless. I'm sitting there ready to eat my food and the lunch lady doesn't have a shirt on.
Oh my gosh.
That's the most boobs I've probably seen in my whole life.
What the hell is an ice cream scooper anyway? Oh no, I don't make any sundaes or cones. I only scoop it. Someone else unscoops it. He basically is invisible up until the swap as Mikey B and Joel were hogging up all the camera time for the fans tribe. He tries to organize an Aussie vote at the Chet boot, and then the next episode, him and Ozzy are best buddies. Alrighty then. Sari even says if Ozzy proposed to Eric, he would say yes, which, I mean, same.
Ozzy is amazing. I honestly like Ozzy. He's an awesome guy, and I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to go outside the small scope that I've lived in and just see a lot more of the world.
And you can just see, like, stars.
Good job, dude.
We're bonding right now.
Yeah. Got good nuts now.
I think if Ozzy was to propose marriage to Eric right now, done deal.
He then starts to become a main character. He's incredibly rootable, especially in challenges. He holds his own against James and Ozzy, which is really impressive, but then he does stuff like paying Sari $40 to lick her fingers after the auction, and it is the most disgusting shit, but it's also hilarious.
I'll give them $20 each to lick their fingers when they're done. Just say $20 to lick your fingers.
$20 to finger?
Alright, how about $40 to lick your fingers?
He's serious.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh my God.
Something's wrong with that boy.
And yeah, I know the whole Eric gave up immunity at Final Five play has been pounded in your head over and over by Survivor, but it cannot be understated how insane of a moment that was.
If you didn't have that necklace, he'd be gone.
I wonder if he would give Nat his necklace.
Nat, worth your magic. You can convince him to give it to you.
Why would it benefit him giving me the necklace?
They will convince, I'll convince the jury not to, you know, they'll know everything you've done. They're not going to vote for you anyways. Everyone is mad at you at this point.
Matt, tell him that if he were to give you the necklace, that would redeem him and we would vote for Amanda.
Who would fall for that? Like, Jason. I feel stupid listening to you guys right now. I'm Ozzy, Jason, and Eric. He belongs in that threesome.
This is where it gets funny and tricky. You give me your necklace.
I'm not even going to consider that.
Just hear me out. If you gave me your necklace tonight, Sari said she would hands down vote for Amanda. That's all we need.
What's wrong with voting for Amanda without me giving up the necklace?
I just think it would be a huge pivotal move for you. Because you're going to need a pivotal move if you want a jury vote.
Mm-hmm. I have felt like I don't have a lot of jury votes.
Yeah.
All right, let me talk to Sheree.
I mean, I know it's hard to ask somebody to give up immunity, but for me, if you were to save Nat, then I would believe you, and that would cue me that we're all going to vote Amanda. Oh, I just don't know. You know, Eric is a pretty smart guy, so it's like a 50-50 shot.
Eric, you have the individual immunity necklace. As always, you can give it up to somebody if you choose to. Otherwise, it is yours and you are safe tonight.
This is a very tough decision for me for a lot of reasons. As a competitor, I've always said, you know what, keep your fate in your own hands. But I want to give individual immunity to Natalie.
Suddenly, Natalie, you are safe.
I don't even know what to say.
You know, my mother always told me, you may not be able to beat him with these all the time, but you can always beat him with this. Sorry.
You're crazy. You officially go down as the dumbest survivor ever. In the history of Survivor, ever.
13th person voted out in the 6th member of our jury. Eric, that's 3, that's enough. You need to bring me your torch.
You guys drive me crazy.
I've lost my reign as dumbest survivor ever.
Eric is so much fun. He could have pulled a Fabio and won out, but the dude is just out of his mind. And I really want to put him in delightfully crazy.
If you want this chocolate chip cookie and milk,
babe,
you need to let me know.
Oh, Natalie. No. Oh, booty.
Natalie, did you lose your concentration?
I'm not going to pass out.
Natalie Bolton. Natalie is almost literally invisible and easy to mistake for Tracy up until episode 11. It's crazy how purple she is up until the end. Natalie is such a fun character, though, as soon as she starts getting content.
My word is as good as your word, which, you know, so far in this game has been good, so.
You know, I think I'm pretty evil. I think I could be pretty evil. What I am now is I'm definitely in I will get you mode. I'm in game mode. And now I'm actually having a lot more fun. I'm getting to be more of myself, which is proving to be pretty ruthless and pretty stone cold bitch and pretty cutthroat.
She is great at the survivor auction protecting that cake from being hogged.
Seriously? Don't hog the cake. I haven't had any food.
No way.
I'm a little aggro right now.
But as she immediately goes from being purple to being this cutthroat and cold bitch who spins Jason into her web and bites down.
I would love to blindside Jason because it'd be 2-0. The ladies. Just at the jugular, flossing my teeth with his jugular.
And she is amazing the rest of the way. The way she works Jason in general is pretty masterful. She's almost as manipulative as Parvati. She has the same magic. She works it on Eric and convinces him to make the dumbest move in Survivor history. And I love how she's telling Sheree and Amanda, I feel stupid just listening to you guys when they're telling her to plan. It's a shame Natalie was so invisible the first 10 episodes because I feel like we missed out on a lot of gold.
The little bitch now has 2 days of sunshine with the immunity idol. Guaranteed, hands down, bitch will find it.
She becomes such an amazing character with just 4 episodes of content. I need to mention, her final tribal council question is one of my favorites.
You have labeled yourself as a flirt. You're probably the most masterful person in the history of Survivor to play the flirt card, which is great. My question to you is, how does that resonate for you in the bedroom? How do you take that to the next level as far as strategy in the game? How does that translate your layers of being?
Hold on, guys. Look, Parvati, do you know what she's asking?
You're a flirt. You flirted with me on several occasions. Not complaining.
You're sexy.
Nice.
Both James and Jeff's reactions were priceless during that question. My theory is Natalie was just thirsty, already made her decision, and just wanted to flirt with Parvati. Natalie Bolton is fantastic TV, and it's a shame she's never returned. She really should have returned at some point, but whatever. I'm putting her in love.
people at home watching identify with me. I'm like the person at home watching on the couch, remember? I was the couch potato.
Ceree Fields. Ceree is an absolute badass on this season. Like a gangster in Oprah suit, as she would say. She starts off as the swing vote between the two alliances of four, and then she eventually is running the entire game. It's awesome.
I think if they really wanted my vote, they should probably do a little more. I should probably be carried, like, on a chariot type thing.
It all started with her not wavering on the Yao Man vote. Ozzy campaigned so hard for Eliza, and Ceree getting her way took power away from Ozzy. Ceree then orchestrated the greatest blindside of all time on that Ozzy boot. I know it gets talked about a lot, but it cannot be understated how insane it felt to watch that for the first time, and it's just as good on a rewatch. Eliza's face truly makes that scene. Oh, and on top of that, her convincing Eric to give up immunity to Natalie in order to get him out was a move you will never see outside of this season. Ceree is just a massive manipulator, and she does it while putting this facade of, haha, I'm just a cute mom, I'm not a threat, when she's the scariest Survivor player to ever go against. If I was ever on a season with Ceree, it would break my heart, but I would be campaigning to get rid of Ceree, like, immediately. Yet they never do, unless you're Tom Westman. Tom knew what's up. We will get to that eventually. Watching her put ideas into people's heads is absolutely delightfully devilish, and the way she talks Amanda into doubting her place with Ozzy was brilliant. She's like the devil on your shoulder, feeding you paranoia. Ceree is just an absolute delight on this season as a narrator, and it's a blast seeing how far she's come from the woman on Panama who was afraid of leaves.
We get way out in the middle of nowhere, and Ozzy decides, well, the reef is right there. Come on, we can get really big fish at the reef. I'm nervous as hell. I've never been out that far in the ocean in a little wooden boat.
Nothing's gonna happen. Don't worry. Just trust me for a little bit.
So you'll have this little reef adventure at my expense today, but it won't happen again.
It's a shame that Ceree became the most screwed over player in Survivor history on this season because she might have played the single greatest non-winning game in Survivor history. James getting medevac turned it from a final three to a final two, and it absolutely sunk her. And that final three immunity challenge was so heartbreaking to watch as Amanda won and took Parvati. This is where Ceree became a Survivor legend, in my opinion. Ceree was always amazing, but this is her highlight.
I don't know, I just looked over, and there's like a couple pair of boobs in Ozzy's head, smack dab in the middle. I'm like, okay. The only thing funnier was Eric drooling from the side.
And it's where she became one of my favorite Survivor players ever. I absolutely adore Ceree. Rightfully so. I'm putting Ceree 2.0 in Queen.
Oh my god.
Freaky?
I mean, damn, Amanda. She basically wrestled a 4-foot shark by herself. I mean, that's pretty attractive.
Amanda Kimmel. Amanda 2, Romantic Boogaloo. Ozzy and Amanda, the couple of overrated Survivor players. Oh, how cute.
I was awake quite a bit last night, and I heard the sounds of jungle love, I guess.
I think we'll be receiving birth announcements from Ando and her little Ozlets that she's about to have.
I absolutely lost it when barely anyone clapped for Amanda in the introductions, despite everyone, even James, getting a huge response. It's like if The Rock came out and greeted everyone to a standing ovation. And next we have Clark Duke. Awkward, out of rhythm, soft, slow claps, followed by a faint, who? It makes sense. I think at the time of filming, only the first couple episodes of China had been aired, and as I pointed out in my China analysis, Amanda wasn't visible up until the second half of the game, and the same can be said here as well. Granted, that could also be said about half the people that made the merge. Amanda's gaslighting and manipulation of Eric would make me feel extremely bad for Eric if it wasn't so much fun to watch. Amanda for sure is a step up from her China appearance. She has more relatable content this time around. I actually remember stuff she does here.
Peanut butter jelly sandwich.
20, 40, 40 60, 80, 80, 140. 140.
That's 160. To Amanda, that's 160 to Alexis. 180, 2 to Alexis.
220,
240. 240 to Amanda.
260.
260 to Parvati. 280. Wow, 280 to Amanda for peanut butter and jelly. Sold.
It's amazing the value you put on food when you don't have it.
I remember things outside of a blurry pair of shorts. Amanda 2.0 is weirdly the best version of her so far, even though she's a total dick and gaslights the shit out of Eric. It's still really good TV, and much more interesting than anything she did on China, but it's still just Amanda. It's a shame she ended up a losing finalist twice in a row, but I can't feel too bad that Amanda Kimmel never won Survivor. At the end of the day, she's just that glossed over zombie hot girl after all. Glad she got to have her little Ozlets though. Good player.
I have to win this time. It's my second time. I'm not coming back here to starve and be miserable. I want to get more fun. I was the flirt on Cook Island and that's it. Like, there was no other dimension to me at all, I don't think.
Do you want to piggyback?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that crab.
Parvati Shallow. Parvati, with no exaggeration, is my favorite winning game of all time. This is where she became my main Survivor waifu, and while she doesn't take Queen Courtney's throne, Courtney is still the best character and always will be, Parvati is just another level. She plays a game of Queen Spider, as I like to call it.
You're part of the plan. The plan is in play. It's like the Black Widow Brigade. Like, all the girls are coming together, and we're spinning the guys around as much as we can, just spinning them until they don't know which way's up, and then we're devouring them one at a time.
She has this little army of bad bitches that are keeping her safe as she's alluring more people into her web to suck out their blood. She takes one look at James and goes, "Well, found my simp," and he and her are now in a couples alliance with Amanda and Ozzy.
Haha, got you, sucker.
She eventually finds more foot soldiers in Alexis and Natalie to help carry her throne to the end, with Suri beside her as her strategic advisor. Ozzy, Jason, Eric, no man is safe from the deadly embrace of Parvati. One by one they fall, till only Parvati remains. Okay, that's enough theatrics. I love how they give Parvati's busted lip the same booking as Petter's knee. Like, they cut from his knee injury directly to her fat lip as if it's equally as bad. Oh no, Parvati's not as hot anymore. That whole challenge was stupid, actually. Pointy sticks everywhere and a game of cat and mouse. Yeah, what's the worst that could happen? Also, how can we make it even dumber? Oh, have two people tied together. Her winning game is my favorite of all time, as I pointed out, but it's not the best or perfect. There's plenty of times when Parvati was extremely vulnerable and could have went home, and she did benefit greatly from the fans being so willing to eat themselves first. She also probably would have benefited from bringing Natalie and Alexis farther than Amanda and Suri, since Natalie would most likely have bombed Final Tribal Council and Alexis did nothing. But hey, it worked out for her anyway in the end. In a weird way, Amanda might always be the perfect goat. She has no idea how to own her game, and that's the main difference between Parvati and Amanda. Parvati owns her game, and Amanda tries to play the nice girl, but Parvati knows she's a manipulative succubus woman, and that's why she pulls out the win. Parvati is not only one of the greatest players to win the game, but she also has one of the most entertaining wins ever. She's hilarious, fun, a great narrator, and so respectable. Parvati is incredible on this season. I'm glad she won. Deservedly so. Another member of the very exclusive tier of Queen. Wow, that was a lot of talking I did. Possibly the longest script I've had of this series so far. But yeah, that was Micronesia. So much fun. It's such a good season. I would recommend watching it. I would say it changed Survivor forever. It introduced so many gameplay elements that are used to this day. Like, it perfected the art of the blind side, and Suri's gameplay in particular definitely influenced the way Survivor is played in the future. And people are voted out just for somewhat imitating a Parvati-type game. Like, if you're a young, attractive girl and you're caught flirting, your ass will be booted out these days. It's like, it did kind of create this kind of sexist idea about young women playing Survivor, but I'm glad Parvati perfected it. And that's more so a case against people who play Survivor than it is against actual Parvati. But anyway, the next season we are coming up to is another one of my favorite seasons ever. this whole string of seasons coming up is just amazingness, and I love all of it, but we are going to Trainwreck Meme Season, Survivor Gabon, and I am just in love with this season. It's such train wreck gameplay from start to finish, and it's delightfully just mwah, chef's kiss all the way up until the end, where the winner is just someone who does nothing the entire game. It's quite amazing. I love it so goddamn much. Anyway, thank you for watching. I will see you next time. Goodbye.